Thanks be to God. The story of the Magi raises all sorts of questions. Who were these mysterious men who came from the east? What was the star in the sky? How did they know what the star meant? What was God's purpose in bringing them all the way to Bethlehem? And why didn't other people come to worship the Christ? First, we meet two kings. Herod, who is the acting king of the Jews, and Jesus, who was born king of the Jews. Verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Bethlehem, this tiny town 6 miles south of Jerusalem. It was known as the city of David and the birthplace of the coming Messiah. Bethlehem was in Judea, which is important because the scriptures foretold that the Messiah would come from Judah. Genesis 49, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his." Jesus was born a king. He didn't become a king. He was not born a prince or a king in waiting. He was already a king from the moment of his birth. And then we have Herod. This is Herod the Great. But he was not a great person. He was known for building projects. He oversaw the building of the new walls of Jerusalem and the magnificent new temple. He may have been a great builder, but he was a terrible king. He was paranoid. He was cruel. He even murdered members of his own family. The Magi, who despite the carol, were not kings. They were magicians or astrologers who studied the stars and interpreted dreams. Matthew tells us that they were from the east. So they were most likely from Babylon or Persia. To the Jewish people, these pagans were the last people you would expect God to bring to worship the Messiah. But God often does the unexpected. And the invitation came in the form of a star. The Magi call it his star, a star that pointed directly to Christ. Some people think it was a comet, others a supernova or a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. But what we can say is that God worked a miracle of timing in having it point to Christ. The Jews, as we know, in the past had been exiled to Babylon. So maybe the prophecies of the Messiah were known to the Magi from the east. Maybe they studied the Hebrew scriptures. Numbers 24 says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel." And that prophecy connected a star with a ruler rising out of Israel. And the prophecy indeed was made by Balaam, him and the donkey. And maybe Balaam had been a magus himself from the time of Moses. So the Magi responded to the star and come to Jerusalem, the political and religious center of Israel. And as Isaiah 60 puts it, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The Magi came to worship the child as Messiah and king. But they come across Herod, who thought he was the king. His reaction was very different to one of worship. First, he was disturbed by Jesus instead of being drawn to him. Verse 3, when King Herod heard that this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. All of Jerusalem disturbed at the news of Jesus' birth. Indeed, this was not the only time this happened. In Acts chapter 4, we read that the priests and the Sadducees were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Do we still find that people are disturbed by Jesus today? They don't want to hear his name. They certainly don't want to acknowledge him as Lord, even at Christmas. People who reject Jesus may know Jesus, but they don't come to him. Verse 4. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Herod here orders an assembly of the Sanhedrin. He calls them all together and asks them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. And they tell him the location, and then they quote from the prophet Micah. Verse 5, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. This king would be a shepherd who would guide, protect, and care for his people, the exact opposite of King Herod. It is possible to have knowledge of Christ without coming to Christ. Jesus would later tell the religious leaders, John 5, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And someone who rejects Jesus gets involved in cheating rather than cherishing. Verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Herod wanted to know the exact time that the star had appeared because he was trying to determine the age of this child, this other king. He wants a child found, and he wants him found now. He tells the Magi to report back to him so that he too can go and worship him. But this is nothing but hypocrisy and deceit. Herod had no interest in worshiping the child. The Magi had worship in their hearts, but Herod had murder in his heart. Jesus would go on to warn about those who would pretend to follow him, but not really worship him. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. neither Herod nor any of the leaders in Jerusalem bothered to walk the 6 miles to Bethlehem to find Jesus. They were disturbed by Jesus instead of being drawn to him. They had knowledge of Jesus but didn't come to him. And Herod practiced hypocrisy and deceit. And these are some of the characteristics of people who reject Jesus as the Messiah and King. Whereas those who worship Jesus rejoice in Christ. Verse 9, after they had heard the King, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Matthew uses the word child here instead of baby. So presumably time has passed and Jesus is no longer a baby in the manger, but rather a child in a house. And we're told that the Magi were overjoyed. That phrase is actually a combination of 4 words in the original language, which could have been translated, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Matthew uses an abundance of terms to describe their overwhelming joy at finding Christ. Peter's first letter describes this joy. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And secondly, those who worship Jesus give their all for him. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, the symbol of royalty. Jesus was born a king. Incense, a symbol of deity. Jesus is the Son of God. Myrrh, a symbol of suffering and death. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. When we worship Jesus as Messiah and King, we give him our all. Jesus would later teach, Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Worship means to give something worth. Jesus is worth everything. When we worship Jesus, we give him our all. And lastly, those who worship Jesus are changed by Jesus. Verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When we worship Jesus as Messiah and King, we switch paths. We can't walk in our old ways anymore. We are a new creation in Christ. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way to the Father, and that's why we must follow him. When we worship Jesus as Messiah and King, we commit ourselves to following the Christ. Of course, the greatest gift at Christmas is not what we give to Jesus, but what God gave to us. The gift of his own son wrapped in the flesh of a baby. Our own gifts pale before God's amazing gift. In fact, it's only possible because of God's gift to us that we can offer any gifts to him. Jesus is the real gift of Christmas. What lies behind these two contrasting responses of the wise man and Herod is probably power. When he hears about Jesus, Herod is frightened of losing his power. Herod fears Jesus because he sees him as a threat to his own position. And he decides that threat needs to be neutralized. And that story keeps on repeating. We don't have to look very far today to see leaders, often aging, who seem to dread losing their power. They respond by claiming that elections that they lost were rigged, or by imprisoning their opposition, or worse. They respond like Herod, by trying to neutralize the threat. But the Magi, on the other hand, accept and acknowledge where true power lies. Right from the start, their purpose is to pay homage to Jesus. By kneeling before him and offering their gifts to him, they acknowledge that above and beyond all worldly kingdoms, there is the ultimate power of God made manifest in a child born to poverty in a village. Today we are celebrating the Epiphany. As one writer puts it, it may be that an epiphany is not so much a aha, I've got it kind of moment, as it is a aha, it's got me kind of moment. It's a moment that awakens us to the deep desires of our hearts, touches the longings of our life, and fills the absence in such a way that we get up and go, change our life, know ourselves in a new way, and travel along a different road. The Magi travelled all the way to Bethlehem for one reason and for one reason only, to worship Jesus, the newborn King. And when we seek Christ, we will find him. And when we find him, we will worship him. And when we worship him, our life will be changed forever. So let us continue to worship him today and in this new year that lies ahead. Amen. Father, we do pray that we will not lose our awe, our fear, our wonder of all that you are. May we worship you with glad hearts. May we worship you in gratitude and thankfulness. May we worship you knowing that we have a future. And Lord, may our worship draw in others to accompany us in this worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to sing, Hark the Glad Sound. Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes, the Saviour promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. He comes the prisoners to release, in Satan's bondage held. The gates of brass before him burst, and iron fetters yield. He comes a broken heart to bind, the bleeding soul to cure. And with the treasures of his grace, to enrich the humble poor. Our glad hosannas, Prince of Peace, thy welcome shall proclaim. And heaven's eternal arches ring with thy beloved name.